Good evening. Turn to Luke chapter 4. I really appreciate Pastor Greg giving me this joy, getting to share the word with you all. And I hope that God will really work in our hearts as we look at his word tonight. It's an exciting time of year. We have a lot of us graduating and then a wedding coming up and some going out on different teams for ministry this summer. A lot of transitions going on in life, and in the midst of all these transitions, though, I believe the Lord wants us to consider a very sobering subject tonight, a subject that has to do with Jesus' life, a transition in his life when he transitioned into public ministry, and that is the subject of temptation and how in the midst of transition in our lives, we are going to face temptations, something we face all the time, every day. And sadly, sometimes we give in to those temptations and we fall into sin. Yet God's word shows us how we can overcome temptation. God doesn't just instruct us, give us commands. He shows us so clearly and specifically through his son. That's what we're going to look at tonight in Luke chapter 4. Follow along with me as I read, starting in verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And he ate nothing during those days. And when they were ended, he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone." And the devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time, said to him, "To you I will give all this authority and their glory, for it has been delivered to me, and I give it to whom I will. If you then will worship me, it will all be yours." And Jesus answered him, "It is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee, and a report about him went out through all the surrounding country. As we look at the life of Jesus in this specific instance, this period of 40 days, God shows us how we can overcome temptation. And I want to just focus on three areas tonight. First, that we should watch out for Satan's tricks. Second, that we should remember Christ's victory. And third, that we should follow Christ's example. Watch out for Satan's trick. Any army general, he knows what his enemy is like and the strategies that his enemies have. He's a student of his enemies because he knows surprise is something very dangerous in warfare. And he wants to know what's the enemy's strengths, what's his weaknesses. And the same is true for us in our Christian lives. The Bible tells us what our enemies are like and our chief enemy, the devil, what he is like and the way that he works when he tempts us. I want to point out two different aspects of the devil's temptation. First of all, he tricks us by appealing to our desires. Now, a fisherman, when he goes fishing, he doesn't just throw his hook into the pond and think, "I'm going to catch some fish." No, he puts something on that hook. He puts a worm or cricket or something else. He wants the fish to come along and see that and go for it, and then he'll catch his fish. And the same is true for the devil has hooks that he throws out, but he puts bait on them and he appeals to our desires, things that we think will please us and satisfy us. And as you look through these three temptations, you can see three different areas that the devil targets. Three different worms, you could say, that he uses to bait us. The first is in verse 3. He says to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Jesus had been fasting for 40 days. This was at the end of his 40-day of fasting, and he was incredibly hungry. And he appeals to that desire because Jesus was fully God, yet he was fully man. And he was hungry. He was starving. The devil appeals to his desire in order to get him to sin, his bodily desires, his bodily pleasure. And he does the same with us, with our desire for food, with our desire for sleep, and our desire for physical intimacy. The devil targets those desires to try to get us to sin. Secondly, he appeals to the desire of the eyes. You can see this if you look at verse 5 when he tempts Jesus. "The devil took him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time." He doesn't just go to Jesus and say to him these words that "I will give you all the kingdoms of the world." He takes and shows him. He appeals to the eyes and shows him that, "Jesus, you can have all the kingdoms of the world." That means it's unlimited, the riches that I am going to give to you right now if you bow down and worship me. He targets the desire for possessions that come through the eyes. And the same is true in our world today. Everywhere you look, this world is driven by the lust of the eyes, materialism, that you can't get through life unless you have this product. And the devil uses these temptations and this specific appeal in our lives to steer us away from God and distract us from being satisfied with God alone. The third area is the desire of the ego. It's the self-praise pleasure. And you see this in verse 9. "He took him to the Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, 'If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here.'" He then goes on to quote scripture to try to even make it more appealing. What he's saying to Jesus is, "You can throw yourself down and the angels are going to catch you." And he uses this scripture to support it, when in fact he was appealing to Jesus' desire for self-praise. He wanted, "If you are the Son of God, prove it. Throw yourself down. And then everyone will know. It'll be the talk of the day. Jesus is the one. He threw himself down from the temple and the angels caught him. Everyone will be talking about it." Appealing to desire for praise. And yet we see the life of our Lord Jesus in his example. He was not pointing to himself. There are times that he does because he was God. But throughout his whole ministry and words, you constantly see him saying and pointing to the Father. He says, "The Father is the one that I have come to exalt." And he points people to his Father, showing us the example of humility. And this is how the devil appeals to us, too, because we all have the desire to be known by people, to be seen by people, to be thought well of among people. And he will use this appeal to cause us to fall into temptation. So let us be aware of his schemes and watch out for the devil's tricks. Not only does he appeal to our desires, but he tricks us by trying to get us to believe his lies. We all know he's the father of lies. And everything the devil says has some sort of lie in it. And you can see this as you go back to the first temptation in verse 3. He says, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." Remember the feeding of the 5,000. He has the power to do it. He can turn the stone into bread, and it's not necessarily wrong to exercise his power. But here it is wrong because God did not want Jesus to eat at this time. God wanted him to fast. And here the devil is tempting him to doubt God's purposes. God will not take care of you. He can't feed you. You need to feed yourself and turn this stone into bread. He's trying to get him to doubt God's goodness and God's care for him. And the same way he does for us. He attacks the character of God in our lives and tries to get us to doubt. God's really not good to you. God really doesn't love you. See, look at this in your life. does God really love you? Would he do that? He also denies God's faithfulness and God's protection. And the last temptation, when he wants him to be thrown down, here it's hard to think through this temptation because it's so wisely crafted together. The devil is acting like, Jesus, if you throw yourself down, then the angels are going to catch you. And that would be faith, right? No, it would be unbelief. Because if Jesus throws himself down, he's asking him to prove it. Prove to me, he says to Jesus, the angels won't catch you. You aren't really God's son until you prove it. Throw yourself off. I want to see it for myself. I will not believe it until I see it. That's essentially what he's saying. That he wants Jesus to not believe God's promise of protection and care for him. And that's how he attacks us too. He wants us to doubt God's word and God's character. He hates truth. He's the father of lies. And so how necessary it is for us to soak up the truth in our hearts, to be people of truth every single day, be putting truth before us, to be focused on what's true, because the devil is the father of lies and wants to turn us away from truth to believe his lies. So let's watch out for Satan's trick, but also let's remember Christ's victory. And this is the most exciting thing about this whole passage. After each time the devil tempts him, Christ responds, "It is written," and the devil moves on to the next one. He's defeated. The devil comes to us and tries to come into our lives. It's like he's knocking on a door. And so often we just let him in right away. But here he's knocking on the door, beating against the door, and Jesus will not let him in. And Jesus never let him in all the 40 days, because he was tempted for 40 days. If you look at verse 2, it says, "For 40 days being tempted by the devil." Now we have three temptations here, but these are at the end of the 40 days, and they're the climax of the devil's temptations. But for all those 40 days, he was pounding at Jesus' door, wanting to get him to sin. Yet what happened? Christ was victorious. It says in verse 13, "And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." He couldn't stump the Son of God, the perfect Son of God. Christ became man, and he experienced all the temptations that we experience. Yet he was God too. And so it's such an encouragement to us that we can remember Christ's victory, knowing that we too can have victory. Victory is always possible. As we look to Christ, it encourages us. No matter how strong the temptation, there is always the way of escape. Christ proved it. He showed us it is possible. And not only that, but now he is able to help us in our temptation. As Hebrews 2, verse 18, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted." Jesus can help us when we are in the temptation, when we run to him. He knows exactly what it's like. Hebrews 4 says, "In every respect he has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." And so he is able to sympathize with us in our weaknesses. We have a Christ who we can run to in the midst of temptation and know he knows exactly what it's like. And he will provide the grace to help us and strengthen us through, all the way through, to be victorious in that temptation. What an encouragement this is before us, that we have the power over the devil. It's not our own strength. It's the power that God gives us because he has won the victory. And the encouragement of Romans is, soon he will crush Satan under your feet. Soon our enemy will be fully defeated and gone forever. And that day is approaching very soon. So let's remember Christ's victory. Don't forget, he has won. So let's be victorious as well. And then, thirdly, let us follow Christ's example. He showed us how to overcome temptation. What did he do? First of all, probably the first thing that comes to your mind is the word of God. What did he say directly when Satan tempts him? "It is written." Look at verse 4. It is written. There it is again in verse 8. It is written. And then in verse 12, it is said. He goes and quotes the word of God. Jesus quotes the powerful sword in the midst of temptation. And this is what gives him the strength to overcome the devil. Notice that this is coming from Jesus' heart. Jesus didn't have a pocket New Testament. Of course, there wasn't the Old New Testament. He didn't have a pocket Old Testament. The only access to the Word of God was in the synagogues where they kept the law. And Jesus memorized those words. He was man. He had to memorize it just like we do. He read those words. He thought about them. Growing up as a child, even in the temple, he answers the Pharisees' questions because he's learned the scriptures from a child. And the same must be true of us, that even in this age of easy access to the Bible, just typing on our computers or having any electronic device with the Bible or around us or a Bible in our hand, we must let the Word of God and take the Word of God into our hearts. Because that is where the power is. When God's word is deep in our hearts, then we can respond to temptation with it. When we take it and meditate on it and know what it says and know what it means and how it applies in an exact situation. Because when Jesus is faced with temptation, he doesn't just quote a scripture off the wall. He quotes a specific text of scripture that applies to that specific temptation. And that's exactly what we need. We are faced with all different sorts of temptations. Yet, if we have the whole counsel of Scripture in our hearts, we are able to quote the exact specific text of Scripture that we need to counter the devil's attack against us. So let us take it into our hearts. And secondly, not only does he use the word, but it's so essential that he has the enablement of the Holy Spirit. It might be easy to miss this, but look again at verse 1. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. And then notice we ended in verse 14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. Before this, we have his baptism and the anointing of the Spirit coming upon him. And this was so essential to his victory in temptation, as it is in our lives, that he was full of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit controlled every aspect. He submitted himself, surrendered himself fully to the Holy Spirit. And the same is needed in our lives, that we must surrender and submit ourselves to the Spirit's control. We can't face temptation in our own strength. It's impossible. We need God's help. Yet he promises to supply that help and promises to give us the Holy Spirit to help us. And even as I was talking about using the exact word from God's word to counteract temptation, it's the Holy Spirit who does enable us to know what word of God we need to use to pull out against the enemy. We all desperately need God's help and need his Spirit to overcome temptation. And so let us seek it. Let us regularly submit ourselves to God's Spirit each day. As we've been going through this, maybe there's something that I've said that specifically God's pointed out in your heart. And I want to just ask some questions as I end up. And maybe some specific areas where we can see where we need to grow in these areas of temptation. What is our response? First of all, maybe you find yourself sleepy to spiritual temptation. Maybe it's not really crossed your mind last few days or weeks, and you find yourself, I haven't thought about temptation very much. Well, God's word for us tonight is, let us watch out. His word is 1 Peter 5, be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. And we must all be watchful, be on the alert. Temptations are all around us. Secondly, maybe you're here and you feel defeated. Maybe you know temptation has been very real this week and you feel like just falling again and again. And maybe you're in a period of temptation like Jesus was, and it's very difficult. And I hope tonight that you will be encouraged that Christ has won the victory, that Christ is able to sympathize with you in your weakness. In the midst of the worst temptations, He is there. Let's remember His victory. And for all of us, let's follow Christ's example in taking in His word and surrendering to His Holy Spirit. Jonathan is, our little son is 8 months now, and we have a routine when he goes to bed to read him a book, to sing him a song, and put him down to sleep. One of the books I was reading this week to him was my first counting book. And it especially interested me when we got to number 8. And I wanted to read this text to you. There's a picture of some fish swimming down a river. And there's a fishing pole and a little hook and a worm hanging out. And it says, "Swish, swish, 8 fish swimming in the brook. Swish, swish, wise fish swimming past the hook. Wise fish swim past the hook, and wise Christians swim past temptation." And may the Lord help all of us to do just that. Let us pray. Dear Father, we come in need of your help. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil and the evil one. In the name of our Lord Jesus, who has won the victory, we pray. Amen.